Be thou holy name, Father in heaven. We thank you today. Thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. Another day, the Lord's day, in remembrance of our Lord and Savior's resurrection. Oh Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this privilege to come together and fellowship and worship at your feet, Lord. Remembering how that without our Savior coming to lay down his life, if there's no resurrection, then Father, Lord, then we will be men most miserable. We thank you, Lord, for this truth that we receive, this revelation, this eternal life, this great gift, the gospel, Lord, that we have, and we thank you, Father. We praise your wonderful name. And now, Lord, as we just approach thy word a little to understand some mystery and understand the way that you express yourself, Father, in the Holy Word, we pray that, Lord, you break it down and help us to understand it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother John, can you just switch off the fan? Oh, last Sunday, you know, I hurried a little too fast, the last part of it. So I want to touch the last part regarding the voices, the thundering and the lightning and the earthquake. And so go a little slowly. To touch on this, and then I'll bring in other subject, a little part here and there, nuggets to explain some of the things. We are looking at mysteries and, you know, the way that God laid in Scripture. So let's go to the book of Revelation now. And we have chapter 4, Revelation verse 5. Alright, Revelation chapter 4 verse 5. And out of the throne proceed lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So here we have in this verse, the first time you read lightning and thundering and voices, and there were seven lamps. Okay, let us read verse chapter 8, verse 5 now. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire out of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thundering and lightning and an earthquake. And chapter 11, verse 19. It says here the same. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of the testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thundering and an earthquake and a great hail. So now you find that the first one, verse we read earlier, and it says, say, lightning and voices and thundering. Then the next one we read, it adds the word an earthquake. And now here we find the word and even great hail. Alright? And chapter 16, verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since man was upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Now, like on Friday, when we were, last Friday we studied, going through the book of Joshua, the first few chapters, you know that there is seem to be some discrepancy of time. And we already seen that in what it was in Joshua chapter 1 and what was in Joshua chapter 2. Where Joshua chapter 1, where, you know, Joshua told the people to make food and get ready because in 3 days they're going to cross over. And in chapter 2, we read that there are two spies went over the river Jordan to get some information, to spy out, to find out more information. They were in Jericho, and so, and you know how Rechab hit them and told them to get out of the city wall and hide somewhere for 3 days. You know, so now we have the discrepancy of time. You know, so chapter 1, Joshua come first, or chapter 2, Joshua come first. And people read that Joshua chapter 2 followed chapter 1. That's not always true. Alright? Because in God's mind, the order of time, as you all know, like 2 o'clock follow 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock follow 2 o'clock. That's order of time, right? You understand what I'm talking about? Okay? Tuesday follow Monday, Wednesday follow Tuesday. That's the order of time. But in God's Bible writing, in His way, the order of time is superseded by the order of His thoughts. You understand? And what He writes. So in the book of Revelation, it's the same. You know, what he wanted to reveal, what vision He wanted to show John, supersede the order of time. It's not that God is not concerned with how the flow of time. He's just concerned with the vision, one set of vision after another to be shown to John. You understand? The thing that will happen upon the earth. You understand that? So He's not concerned with how He must be laid out in time, in what we call in proper order, as being shown to John in that way. No. So you must understand, therefore, when we look at the thing that in the book of Revelation here, we understand that many of these things that were shown to John, they were symbolic. And especially now we look at these few verses that we read just now about these voices, thunder and earthquake and lightning. These are the activities. It shows that there are activities that is going to happen. God is calling attention. Alright. The way that the vision was shown to John with all these lightning, voices, earthquake, was God's calling our attention to what He's going to do. Okay? His activity that is going to happen regarding His law and His truth and His judgment that is to come. Now we want to look at this to prove so. Let us go to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. In no other place of scripture you find that God, you know, have always these voices and lightning coming on without His presence being shown where He's going to judge or where His wrath comes up. You see? So we see in Exodus chapter 19, and we have verse 16 to 18. Chapter 19, verse 16 to 18. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether as a smoke, because God descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a great furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. So here you see, the children of Israel were at the foot of Mount Sinai when Moses was up there, you know, and there was this great smoke covering the mountain, there was this earthquake, there was a lot of lightning, a lot of thundering up, and then there was a great shaking. Okay, we call that earthquake. You understand, it's a quake, but we say earthshake. So people might have better understand using the word shake, but we are so used to earthquake. So when a person is doing this, what did he say? The person is shaking. But in the days of the early American pioneer time, in the age of the Mammonites, and the Shakers and the Quakers, they're quite shaken, but they quake. So if a person moves like this, you can say that he's quaking. People don't like to hear the word quaking, because they think the quaking means earthquake. It actually means earthshake. Shake means a shake. You understand? So when we talk about God is going to shake this earth, it doesn't mean that God is going to quake this earth in where the whole earth would be, you know, having a lot of earthquake. It doesn't mean that. So the word is the way that is used in translation. So we always, when we say quaking, you know, we always think that there is an earth cracking up and things like that. Huh? Alright, so now, if we have, let's say right now, at this time now, while we are here in this room, and we feel movement, right? So he said, there's an earthquake. So when we say about earthquake, what do you think? I think the earth is cracking up. No, there might be just some shifting of the earth, right? So there is this shaking movement, you see. So don't think about earthquake as some big thing, the way it is used in the Bible. Okay, go to Isaiah. So now in this Exodus now, you know that God is came down. Now he's not happy with the children of Israel. Alright, so he's going to give them the law now. Because God cannot tolerate all those who come, you know, or broke his law. He cannot tolerate those things. So when his presence came down upon Mount Sinai with all these activities, the people on the earth began to, oh my. They were all come fearful. They trembled. They even shook also. Do you understand the expression? There are a lot of things going to happen when God's, there's activity in heaven like this. It shows that God is doing something for the people. His wrath is going to pour out, or he's going to be angry. Things like that. Alright, let's go to Isaiah chapter 29. Alright, Isaiah 29 verse 6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunders, with earthshakes, and great noise, with storms and tempests and flame of devouring fire. So you see, when you talk about God visiting, and we know that God is going to visit this whole earth in the last day, and there will be a lot of activities like we read in the book of Revelation. What is going to happen upon this earth? You see, and even when God gave a revival in the early days in Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, you know, there was a mighty rushing wind. Is that right? And a fire came down and licked everybody, right? And they start to speak in tongues. Is it? And they act like they were drunk. They were shaking, like moving around like drunk men. So that is spiritual lightning and thundering in our life. He said, has God's voice started to speak? Give them utterances. And they went around speaking in tongues and prophesying. In the 20th century, early 20th century, that's the same thing happened. And that's why they have people start to shake, and then they start to call the Quakers or shake, and then they roll on the floor and start speaking in tongues. You see. So imagine that if you were in a room with 50, 100 people, and everybody start to, you know, feel the power of the Holy Spirit coming in, and maybe there is a strong mighty wind coming in, and everybody starts to shake and starts to speak in tongues. That's a phenomenon, huh? No wonder on the day of Pentecost, the people out there said, these people are drunk. You know, because they act a little bit off. You understand? So you get this expression I want you to see. I want to go over to the book of Ezekiel now, to let you know that symbolism, when God shows something to a prophet, he may not show the same kind of vision to another prophet, but in a different way. So there is a slight difference, but it still tells us the same thing. So Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 5 onward. Let's read from there. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and the four had their faces and their wings. And their wing was joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. And they went everyone straight forward. And the likeness of their faces, therefore, had the face of a man, and the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four also had the face of an eagle. Now, so here you see that. Here we have Ezekiel's vision. But the way it was shown is quite different as what? Book of... in what John saw on the Isle of Patmos. Is that right? Here is that you have a creature where four faces, all standing still with wings. Okay? All joined together. And the will within the will. Now, so the thing is that what Ezekiel saw is the same vision, but only in a different depiction. In the book of Revelation, John saw as four living separate creatures. Is that right? You understand that? So, when God shows things like that, you will have to understand symbolism. And because the in it hides a mystery. Why did God use face of a lion, face of man, an ox or a calf, and the other one is face of an, what is the fourth one?
Eagle.
What all these symbols? What's all these symbols? So that's all right. When God show mysteries, they are hidden. So the same thing with all these voices, lightning, thundering, and earthquake things. Alright? Further on, let's go to Revelation 4 again. To see what John saw. Just to remind us. Revelation 4, 6 to 8. And before the throne there was a sea of glass unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come." Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 8 now, verse 1. Because we want to look at this earthquake issue here. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. Because of the way that anti message believers look at the time event. Now, we are all looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. So, we are looking at how event unfold. Alright? So, Revelation chapter 8 verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And then verse 2 begin and say, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them was given seven trumpets. So now, again, when we read scripture like this, and as usual, interpreter will just follow sequentially. Alright? As they read the scripture, they just say that it's all in sequence. But let's pause for a moment. That when John had the vision, when he came to this part, he said, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a space of there was sun in heaven about the space of about half an hour. So, I want you to imagine now that if you are John sitting on somewhere in the Isle of Patmos, all by yourself as a prisoner, and God was in the room where you are, and visions happen. And you see one vision after another. And now, the vision happened here in this part here. When the seventh seal was opened, how do you know that he was about the space of half an hour? Did the vision open with the seventh seal being opened, and then next moment he looked at verse 2, where the seven angels stood before God? Did it go suddenly like that? Or was there actually a space about half an hour presented to him? That is, the seventh seal was opened and he just waited to see something happen. 1 minute passed, 2 minutes passed, 3 minutes passed. You know what I'm saying? 5 minutes passed, 10 minutes passed, he kept on looking. Nothing. Everything was silent. There was no activity in heaven. He was a space about half an hour, because I know that he waited for half an hour. It must have happened in the vision to him. You understand? Because every vision they showed to him, even how the angel descended, he saw him come down. Everything has symbolism. So half an hour means that he was there waiting for half an hour before the next vision was presented to him, where he saw the seven angels stood before God. And then they received seven trumpets. So because of this, people think that verse to follow verse on. No, not at all. As I said this, the thought, the order of God's thought, supersede time. Supersede the order of time. God is showing vision one son after another. Do you understand? For example, right now, if you have a vision today about something that is to happen, okay, and then tomorrow you have another vision about another thing that is to happen. Now, can you place that the vision today must happen first and your vision tomorrow comes after? Not necessary. You understand what I'm saying? You may have a vision today about something that has happened, say down the road a month. Tomorrow you had another vision that will tell you that the vision is going to happen 3 days later. Not following the first vision. It comes first, all you know. Vision of God and the thoughts of God, the order of that supersedes the order of time. You understand? Okay, this is one thing I need you to remember. So now when we look at Revelation chapter 8 verse 1, what is this all about here? And by what we are discovering now, our understanding, because how the Spirit called us out of the system and looking closely at what the prophet of God, Brother Abraham, give up some pointers that we can actually look at. Is that right? Now we know this is something tremendous must have happened in this verse. Only the Bible did not tell you what. Because God wrote it as a form of mystery, being silent, and is not revealing it to the people of the world. He's not revealing it to all those who are the intellectual, but he revealed it to those who are babes and those that were learned, to his elect. Just as Jesus told the disciples, I speak parables out there, but unto you is made known the kingdom of God. You see. And so Jesus expounded to them just the first two parables. And asked them, now do you understand this? If you cannot understand it, you cannot understand the rest. So we need to have the basic. You see. So now because of this silence, we realize that somewhere along the line has begun to put all these sets of vision in a proper place of time, that we can see where the silence starts. You see? And we know that the silence starts in Revelation chapter 10, where the vision then shows us the parousia of Christ. You understand? You understand the parousia? Now, the parousia teaching here has been a very controversial thing. Alright? To some people who follow what Frank and all, the parousia is a very controversial thing because he said that it's nonsense. Because after Joe Wingers a moment, they taught parousia in a very strange way. But parousia is a Greek word. It means the coming, the presence of God. You see. And so, when you look at Revelation chapter 10, we realize that the silence in Revelation chapter 8 must have shown that John was waiting to see what's going to happen. The sea was open now, the seven seals were open. What's coming? They were silent. Right? And then, it must have fitted where the mighty angel steps out of heaven. Now, if I were to show you all in this book of Revelation, you'll notice one thing. When you read, like what we read earlier on, let's go to chapters 11, verse 19. I want to show you something here. Revelation 11, chapter 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the Ark of the Testament. Now what is this? What is this temple? It says, the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the Ark of the Testament. What temple? When we read it here, we realize that this temple is not a literal temple. This temple is the church. You are the temple. And when John saw this vision, he said the temple of God was in heaven, was opened up in heaven. And there he saw the Ark of the Testament. Who is the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant is also our symbol. It represents Christ. So Christ is in the church, and the church is to be Christ up there, while every event that is going to happen in the something we are Daniel happen on the earth. Do you understand? It shows that the bride is with him up there. Because there's also something has a literal temple in heaven. Do you understand? Because if you were to read over in chapter 8. And verse 2 says, and I saw the seven angels which stood before the Lord God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. Yeah, we know that there is a golden censer, right? You know, because what? This is the vision that was earlier shown to Moses. How that he should build the tabernacle according to what was shown to him on the mountain. And what Moses saw in that vision was a setup in heaven regarding the layout. So that's why John saw this, that there was a censer that was before the throne. There was a golden altar before the throne. You see. But there was no tabernacle in the sense that as shown to John. You understand? But as shown to Moses, he was shown, of course, the tabernacle, the size, and how to be built, because that was what he sees presented to him on the mountain, and that vision was a heavenly vision. Because the tabernacle of Moses depict what? Christ, his ministry, the church. And the tabernacle changed into a temple later on for the children of Israel. And spiritually, we are the temple. Do you see? You understand now? And the temple of God will be in heaven. The church will be in heaven. Why God deal with the children of Israel on the earth? You understand that? Okay, now let's go on a little more. Go to Revelation chapter 10. Now, here we see, of course, Revelation chapter 10. This must follow Revelation chapter 8 verse 1. This vision must follow that, because John was waiting for half an hour suddenly. Because there was a preparation, something great happened. And this is what John saw, and I saw a mighty angel came down from heaven. Now you can read all of the first few chapters of Revelation. You see here, the Bible talks about this messenger, and to this angel, and to this angel of the church, right? But here now he says, I saw another mighty angel came down from heaven. But this mighty angel is not just an angel. He is clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as the sun, and his feet as a pillar of fire. And all the description they describe, we know who that is. Correct or not? No angel has been given has such description. This description befits only one person, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible describes, and John saw everything as he came down, he saw how he descended, his feature and everything. Now vision did not just zoom, come down, huh? Because you know God takes no seed time. What is vision? You know, if you ever dream a dream, sometimes dreams are very strange. One moment you find yourself in one place, right? Huh? Another moment you find yourself walking very slowly, things like that, you know? So, that's all very strange. So the same thing with vision. So when God showed this vision to John, he saw the mighty angel came down. Not a little angel, 6 feet tall man, and now as I said, he's a mighty angel. And we know it has to be because in his hand there was a little book. A little scroll. Now by looking at a little scroll, we know that it cannot be. No scroll is little. In those days, every scroll is about a meter long. Huh? Or maybe at least 3/4 of a meter long. You understand? All those holy scrolls. Except for the Roman scroll. It's a little, maybe 1 foot long thing. Huh? Where you write some little order, that's it. But of course, this is Bible. This is scripture. It has to be a scroll. Now we all know, and that is the book of life. You see. So why is it called a scroll? Because the mighty danger must be huge. In a vision, so that when John saw him coming down, he could put his right foot into the sea, not on the seashore. And that's why an interpreter will tell you that, standing on the seashore. No. Not like kids playing on the seashore, when all the water comes in, oh, you know, jumping this way, trying to keep it dry, you know how they... No. His foot is in the sea, his left foot is upon the land. And that description, I can tell you and I can guarantee you, if I'm wrong, tell me. We know that the water always symbolizes, the sea out there raging, always symbolizes the Gentile nation. And especially talking about this sea, there's only one place in the Bible that the Bible always talks about that sea. The Great Sea. The Mediterranean Sea. Is that right? Always. When the Bible talks about the land. My land. The Holy Land. That's Israel. Huh? The Bible says he put his right foot in the sea first. The Bible clearly tells you. It didn't say the left foot he put on the land and right foot on the sea. No. He said the right foot in the sea, then the left foot in the land. And you know the symbolism of right and left. Sea represents the Gentile and the land represents Israel. So all this symbolism, the fire, how he comes to judge the great activities now. He comes in, I just imagine, if you ever see a vision, oh, we tell some people like to watch movie, Jack and the Beanstalk, where the giant comes, you know how you go, boom, 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 you know, that sort of thing. And just imagine if you will have a vision like that, of a mighty angel coming down, put his foot in the sea. So there must be a lot of activity in the sea when he put his feet in the sea. You know, and then on the land, boom, you must be coming, an earthquake or something. You see, in a vision, just imagine like that. So there is this symbolism in the Bible that we need to really get to understand. Alright? So, Revelation chapter 10 therefore fit into Revelation chapter 8 verse 1. Okay? And we realize that when we read all the way in Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, and verse 7 says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophet. Therefore we realize that this mighty angel coming is related to the ministry of the seventh angel, or the seventh church age messenger. Because to say that once each, when Christ comes, this whole age is going to fall down. This mystery of God, this dispensation of 2000 is going to fall down. Do you understand that? So, and we know that the seven seals ends all things. All the seals move right to the end, to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to Israel and set up his kingdom. You see. So why is it in chapter 8 silent? Why is it silence? There was a silence. Because there's great activities working. And only that people do not understand what it is. Because the silence is something that carries a great suspense. So well, there is great anticipation. Now, we look at today, when the message came to us, then we realize we are living in a very late hour. Now, for the Gentile church, we are expecting Christ to come soon. But what is going right now in Israel? Just think about what is going right now in Israel. And do you know that there is a great anticipation for the children of Israel out there? That's why they are preparing themselves to build the third temple. Is that right? They're even, some of them even predict about the Messiah coming, you know, this year or next year or something like that. That's why they are preparing all these utensils, the furniture, you know, getting ready to build a third temple. And what is UNESCO trying to do? What is UN trying to do about that Dome of the Rock thing? Huh? They say Israel has nothing to do with it. Right? Why? Because there's a great anticipation, not for the Gentile church itself or the coming of Jesus Christ, but the Messiah coming to Israel. And the world is shaking about what's going on, what's going to happen now. And now we have this election coming. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Right? Hillary Clinton. Is she the vision? Is she the one that Brother Abraham saw? Brother Abraham said she was a beautiful woman. Some people say, no, she's not beautiful. What do you expect her to be when she's old? To be as beautiful as what? As a 20-year-old woman? If you look at a photograph, a younger day, she's pretty. Right? What about Donald Trump when she was young? But he's handsome, but he's old now, he's a cranky old man too. Isn't it? You know? Look at me, look at my brother Henry. When he was young, he's very handsome. But look at him now. You know, you don't expect a person not to grow old and looks different, obviously. And I believe that Sister Lucy must be very pretty when she's young, obviously. Right? Of course. So it's very natural. So, is Hillary Clinton the woman that Brother Abraham saw in the vision? That were, what the Bible, she said, a powerful woman, huh? A powerful woman, look at her. You know? But the question now, will she be voted in? Or would there be an uprising after that if she got voted in? Or if Trump is going to win, would there be another problem? Look at the whole world is anticipating something is going to happen. Huh? Because you see, the whole world seems to be run by America. You know. And what we have in Asia? A lot of people, a lot of country here is turning towards China, right? Philippines, Malaysia. And Duterte said goodbye to America. He said, I'll not curse anymore. God told me not to curse. But actually, he went back to cursing. So the world is crazy. People know that the whole world is in a situation that is very bad. And the Bible said the whole world will get worse. Book of Matthew 24 says so. You see? And the Bible said sins will be more abound. Yes. Sin will be more heaped up. But yet the Bible also says the grace of God will be more abundant upon His children. You know. And so we are all waiting and anticipating what is to come. See. So this suspension. Suspense like in Revelation 8:1. And when John saw the mighty angel came down. And he raised his right hand and swore, you know, and cried with a loud voice. And then someone started to utter the voices, and John was about to write, and that was the mystery. Don't write it, John. Now we don't even have anything here on record. John was about to write. But God said, don't write it. Whatever the thunder have said, don't write it. Seal it up. I know, I think what's said by Brother Bram was so true. So that Satan will not be able to impersonate or do whatever he wants to. Because whatever is in the Bible, Satan can impersonate. Because, you know, monkey see, monkey will do. He's a real monkey. Monkey people's life. Messing up people's life. Twisting people's life. So what is not written, you don't know what it is. And today what I heard, oh my. Somebody sent me a WhatsApp text and asked me some question in the, you know, and asked me about certain thing, and then found out that this man is following Amos. You know. And I said, is this person following the man? The brother said, yes, he's following Amos. And he believed, they said, that the person believed that Amos is the chief of the seven thunders.
Wow.
What are you talking about? That's not the case. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Seventh thunder has not uttered yet, but now he's uttering. When it comes time to be revealed, it will be revealed. You know. Like I said in the past, one brother said to me, Brother Guy, why do you believe that there are seven men? There are seven men who have come and gone. There are the seven church messengers. I said, there are seven angels. But the Bible here said the seven thunder uttered their voices. Those angels are not thunders. These are seven thunders. They are uttered together. I mean, they work at the same time. The seven churches in Espanol do not work at the same time. Oh, but Brother Gunn, they are the seven spirits. Someone found out the seven spirit now, preaching to the seven church age. I mean, preaching to the churches now through the ministers, through the fivefold ministry. Now, they have all that thing. Now, if there are voices they have uttered, something that have been uttered. Now, just imagine if Moses were to utter something. God told him to utter, but then told him, don't write what you uttered. It means nobody knows because nothing is written there. You know? You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So if it's nothing is written, then we do not know. But if it's utterance, it means there are voices, then it must be known. And the brother asked me, he said, if the Christian in the world today cannot even recognize one man, messenger, how do you expect them to recognize seven? It got strange. And I asked him, I said, how did you come into the message? Were you looking for a prophet? Were you looking for the seven messenger? Did you know? I said, I don't even know about Elijah, the prophet in Malachi. I didn't even expect that devil has anything to do with the Gentile church. A portion of it. Because you're talking about restoring or turning the hearts of the children back to the apostolic father. Like John was turning the favor of the hearts of the religious father to the favor of the children that he had brought to the gospel. You know. I said, were you looking for the one man? No. But when God presents him, we see, we accept. Were you looking for the gospel? Any of you were looking for the gospel? No. You might have heard the gospel, but you were not looking for it. And then you learn that the gospel said we are all sinners. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of eternal life is Christ Jesus. When you see that, when you heard of a man who is your Savior, who is your God, and you come to the truth that you need him, you embrace him, you receive him. Now I'm not looking out for the seven thunders here and there. No, I'm not worried about that. They will come. Your voice will be uttered to speak for the change of the body. Give us rapture in faith. But again, if there are no seven men, I've always been asking this question. So, well, no seven men, that's okay. If there are no seven men, and the rapturing faith can happen without the voice of God, without hearing the rapturing faith, just because we believe the Bible and all this, fine, then we'll be all we go. No problem, isn't it so? You see, why do we need to hear the message? Matthew chapter 25 told us about these five virgins, wise and five foolish. He gave us the parable. How many people understood that parable? Few people do understand that parable. You see. So, an understanding is about this thundering. Alright? I want to show you on the chart now where to place these activities. So when you hear about the Bible reading, the voices and thundering and lightning and the earthquake, do not take it as something that is literally going to happen on the earth, that there's going to be an earthquake, there's a lot of lightning and thundering striking, and you're not going to see that. It means a lot of activity. God is coming down to pour out His wrath and judge the world. And that's what we are seeing in the 70th week of Daniel, when the two prophets will come. And then how that the Antichrist killed them in the midst of the 7 years, and then go after the Jews and the faithful, what they call the foolish virgins, and all those who will not bow down to Mother Church, the authority of the Pope, Vatican City. But let us first go to Revelation 11:19. Okay, chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. There was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightning and voices and thundering and an earthquake and great hail. Now, great hail represents the word hail, you know, means to drop down. You know, to let it fall down. You know, hail, you know what hail is like, huh? You see, so help is something that is going to be poured down. Okay, so now when we see this in verse 19, let us read verse 15 onwards. Chapter 11, verse 15 onwards. And the seven angels sounded. Now this seven angel is the seven trumpet angel. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto thy servant the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was sin in the temple, the ark of the covenant, and there were lightning and voices and thundering and an earthquake and great hail. So John saw this vision about the seven thunder blow and what's going to come, how the God's going to visit the earth and judge the world and so on and all that. And yet John saw in heaven the temple of God was there, and the ark of the covenant was there. They are safe. We are safe up there in heaven, because there's a lot of activity now showing in heaven that God is going to do on this earth. So all those voices and lightning, thunder, all these are just symbolic of what God is going to do. His wrath is raised up and he's going to judge the world. And that is the seventh trumpet. Let's go to Revelation 16, 18. Alright, Revelation 16. We read from verse 17 onward. Alright. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and lightning and thundering, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Right? So, but there's one verse I want you to go on. Let's go to Revelation chapter 8 again. Alright? So here we have in verse 2. Now, verse 1 has no connection to verse 2. Verse 2 has no connection to verse 1. You understand? It's just a set of vision. So verse 2 are opened by itself as a new set of events that is going to happen. And this set of events is that the seven angels which stood before the Lord, to them were given seven trumpets. You understand? Now they stood before the Lord. After John saw the silent, and now John saw this new set. The angels now are given trumpets. Okay? And look, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer with the prayer of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, there was a golden altar before the throne where the incense was rise up before the Lord, as you see in the tabernacle of Moses. And this incense, together with the prayer of the saints, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, all the saints that have offered prayer to God, the angel will offer that to God. Alright? And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayer of the saints ascended out before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and lightning and thundering and an earthquake. So now the angel, having offered the prayer and incense, took the coal from the altar in the censer and he cast it out into the earth. And the Bible says now there was activities. So something is going to happen. But this has nothing to do with the earthquake that is going to happen. Now, Revelation chapter 8, where you talk about this verse 5, about this lightning, thunder and earthquake. There's nothing to do with the earthquake that is going to happen before the bride rises. Nothing to do with it. It's just talking about the activity that God is going to pour out. Okay? Alright? Because the seventh angel was given seven trumpets. And the seven trumpets begin from the 70th week of Daniel starts. Okay? And the Bible then tells us that there were lightning and earthquake and thundering. That's it. So it's nothing to do with the earthquake where the saints of God were rising. Do you understand? Yeah, the earthquake in California is going to happen. It's just one of those activities. There may be a lot of earthquakes. Alright? That's because the Bible here mentioned an earthquake, it doesn't signify a particular earthquake. It's just talking about that there is going to be a great shaking upon the earth. That there's going to be a lot of activity. There's lightning and thundering and voices. Because you know one thing? I already said this. The voices are the voices of God speaking to the people on this earth through His ministry. Huh? Christ is the voice. The Bible talks about He is the voice of many waters. When Christ speaks, many waters are a lot of people. And when God speaks to the people, how does He speak? He speaks to His servants, the ministers. And that's why now the activity that is what's happening we see in the last day when the seven seal being opened up. We are in that period of time. And the pollution has already started. Christ, the Word has come down to get a Gentile bride. And now we are being prepared as a wife make ready. So that when we go, He will begin His left foot towards Israel and deal with Israel. So this period of time has a lot of lightning, voices and thundering. Look at what we have read over in the book of in the Old Testament. Exodus, when the mountain quake. And God said, I will visit my people with an earthquake. Remember? I will cause them to be troubled before me. I will send thundering and lightning and so on. And this is what God is talking about. I'm going to shake this whole earth. I'm going to visit them. So lightning, thundering and all these voices are the activity, speaks of God's activity coming down. And how does God deal with His people? He sent His minister. Even the two prophets, they will come. They will thunder forth. You see. Do you understand what I'm saying? So these are just the word description of the event. Alright, so Revelation chapter 8 or something that is happening here. But we already know that the parousia already started to get the bride, the calling out of the bride, out of denomination, separating the wheat from the tares. That shall come out of her, my people. Matthew chapter 25. Remember? The marriage of the Lamb. You see, begins already here. That is to say, the Revelation chapter 10 already started. The parousia has started. But it has not culminated yet. It has not ended yet. Are you following me? Okay? So, after this, then we have the seventh trumpet being blown. Okay. Now, if you want to follow, let's go to Revelation chapter 16, verse 17 to 18 again. Let's read that. Revelation chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven, from the throne of God, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunder and lightning. There was a great earthquake such as was not seen. Men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And then let's go to Revelation 6:12. Alright. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Okay, now this is the sixth seal. Okay? Now, look at the chart. Now, we read here in this verse, sixth seal. What is the sixth seal? What is the sixth seal? We know sixth seal has two parts. Okay, one part is already fulfilled. Okay? But here we have sixth seal here. Alright. And we read over in Revelation chapter 16, the seventh vow that was poured out. Seventh vow is here. This is number seven. And then we read over in Revelation chapter 11, the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet is here. So when the seventh trumpet blows, you bring forth seven vows. When the seventh vow is poured out, it all ends up with the sixth seal, because there is a great earthquake. And what is this earthquake? It's not a Californian earthquake. Okay? If you are still around, then you will experience this one, if you do not die. Okay? This is the point when Christ will come back, and when he lay his foot, and when his feet touches Mount Olivet, then the mountain out there was such a great shaking that the whole land was split. Alright, one part, the mountain was split, one part to the north, one part to the south, and the water from the Great Sea, Mediterranean Sea, will bring in the fishes, and then the water will flow into the Dead Sea. And Dead Sea became a living sea, where the fishes will live. Now you don't find one living creature there in the Dead Sea, because it's so salty. And it is the lowest point, I think, in the earth. Huh? So just imagine this. Okay, so this seven trumpet, seven bow, and the sixth seal enter right here. And then you will find, as you move back over to this side, you look over here. Alright? All ends up at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is called the Day of the Lord. The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. In Revelation 11 and verse 15. Okay? So these three, Revelation 11, 19, Revelation 16, 18, alright, the seven bow, seven trumpet and the seven bow, and the sixth seal in Revelation 6, all ends right here. To usher in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he comes down to fight in the battle of Armageddon. Then he will set up his kingdom upon this earth. So all these periods, from now on, when the seventh seal was opened, they began to silence, and the mighty angel came down, begins all this quaking and lightning. Do you know that now the church is being judged even now? Yes. All this activity, whether the spiritual activities in the church that's going on, all the activity that's going on there in the world. Do you know the whole world is being judged? That's what we are seeing. That's why you read a lot of this in Revelation regarding the voices of God going forth, and there is a lot of lightning and a thundering revelation, and there's a lot of shaking. Okay? Alright. We go to another thing now. You can switch that up. Alright? Let us go to Revelation chapter 4. We still have a little time left. And I just to share with you something. Now I know that many of us are still perhaps wondering. Of course, usually we all do wonder. But don't let our minds just wander off. But we all long for the Christ coming. And we have a great anticipation to be a part of the bride in the rapture. Isn't it? We all want to be part of the rapture. You see. And sometimes we want to look at how events unfold. And as I said, there's one particular thing about prophecy in the end time. Is that when we are on our journey to a destination, the journey began usually, you know, we didn't think much of it because the journey, the destination is still far away. But as we get close to the destination, the event happens very fast. You know what I mean? Now you're on the plane, 10-hour journey on the plane. You know, you get headache and all this thing. You're so bored, you know. Oh, you go after 6 hours, you stop over for another 1 hour on the in the airport before you connect on the next one, and they keep looking at, oh, at least you've got 4 hours left, you know, and all this. And go on the plane, we board on this. But as the time when the captain said, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to land in the next 45 minutes. Yeah, everybody's happy, you know what I mean? Because everything is coming to very fast. We get the plane down, oh, we are rushed out here, oh yeah, we are going to the hotel now. You know, everything seems to be very fast. He said, are you on all the country road to visit somebody else? You know, you have a long journey, but the last mile, alright, last kilometers, when you see the house at the end of the road where your great-grandfather lived and you want to visit that, wow, you get so excited, you know, things pressure very fast as you get closer. So when we look at the prophecy at the end time, there are so many things that's going to happen, and it can happen so fast that some of us might even miss it. You see, look at the message that God gave us. Wow. It was when Brother Abraham came forth preaching it. Huh? Indict the generation for crucifying the word of God the second time when they rejected it. Huh? When he called them out to come out of Babylon. They don't believe in it. Because the denomination in itself cannot move as a whole. But God is calling the individual, never the organization. So those they heard will come out. Is it? And when they came out, where did they go? And yet the people who came out of the system do not even go to the world. And I have preached this manner when I'm overseas. The sign never pointed itself. The sign on the signpost never point back to the signpost. The sign always point to the place where you are supposed to go. Now, I still remember the one time when I was Brother James Venomore, the first time actually. We were on the car up to some place and we came back and we were in the car and then we came to a junction. It was in the night. Late in the night after the service was over, I think about 10, 11 o'clock. It was total darkness in the countryside, but then we came to a crossroad and then there is a sign right there we can see the point. I can't remember the place. You know. So the brother had to stop at the junction. So I thought, well, let's stay here, look at the sign. Beautiful sign, is a beautiful message. He's pointing us to where we're supposed to go. Let's just stay here and admire the sign. I said, that place, that sign say, let's say the sign say Jerusalem. 5 kilometers pointing to Jerusalem. And we said, just stay here, look at the sign. Wonderful message. What a beautiful signpost. Very well, even the letter, oh, it's so beautiful, it's in gold. You know, you just look at all that. I said, yeah, that's Jerusalem. That's not Jerusalem. That's just a signpost that pointed to Jerusalem. I told the brother, and they were all realizing. Some of them said, oh, yeah, that's true, brother again. The sign point to it, and if we don't get out of this place and follow the sign, we'll be staying here whole night through admiring the sign. And I said, that's the problem with people. Oh, Brother Branham, what a wonderful message. Oh, Brother Branham, you know, yeah, that's the message. But what is the message? What is the message? You know, the book that I wrote in was in Africa. Many people who read it for the first time now realize that's what the message is all about. Not about what Brother Abraham said. It's about what Brother Abraham said. Point us back to the Word. And you see, people can hear God doing something, but they don't see what God is doing. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, oh, we have Abraham, we have this, we have the prophet. And the greater than Solomon is here, Jesus said, and they don't even recognize them. Huh? You see, and even for one moment, John the Baptist even doubted whether he was the one. And Jesus did not say anything else, but tell the disciples, go and tell John. The blind see, the lame walk, and the dumb speak. He should know. Nothing else needs to be said. But today we said that to people, they would say, oh yeah, the Satan also can heal. You know, that they have the idea. You see. So when we come back to this message, and that's what God is doing now. This is a spiritual realm. God is shaking. And the floor is still, you know, Christ is still winnowing the threshing floor. Huh? You know? separating the grain from the chaff. Because what? The seed is not air with the shook. You know, we have no part out there with the denomination. No part out there with the system of darkness. And let me say this, and I say this because of the Word of God. You know, Joshua. No, he told Joshua to lead the people across Jordan and fight, you know, battle of Jericho and all this other place. And God told him to tell the people, don't touch any of their cursing. Don't. Joshua told them all. And what they can do? Huh? He saw one Babylonian government. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's an accursed thing. God doesn't want anything to do with Babylon. Do you understand what I'm saying? And my friend, all these Christian people that I know, you try to tell them this. Oh, come on, you're telling us that we're all not going up in the rapture. I need to say that. I'm telling you what the Bible said. Get out of those things. Right? Can you know what? When Joshua, how many men died? How many people? 13 or something like that died. I can't remember now. And Joshua was devastated and he cried more and God said, get out! Now God will not tolerate this thing. Get up and deal with it. So Joshua deal with it. Double him and see who power was taken. So what God said, burn him. You know, God cannot tolerate this sort of thing. And your reason, it's okay. You don't believe in the Trinity. If you are ignorant, it's one thing. When you have the truth, you know what the Bible says? God says, there was one time when God, you know, winked at the ignorance of people. But now he doesn't wink at them anymore. You know, however, you see, like in Singapore, you know, we say don't litter, right? Sometimes you see people just litter, right? When you look at it, what do you feel? You know, you just hit some face, and I mean, you know, that sort of thing. But you know, God doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't wink at your ignorance anymore. It's time for you to know the truth, and he doesn't tolerate something that you know to be true and you don't do it. What do you think God give us all this word for? It's to bring us to realize that we are His people, we are His children. You see? And time will come. When we are looking around and see what God's going on, doing on, getting people ready, we just get ourselves ready. Because we don't have to worry when this earthquake is going to happen in California. And somebody with people will say that, oh, in California, shakes and the island broke off, the raptures must happen. We do not know. Okay? Because we really do not know how, whether the rapture happened before it sings or after it sings, we do not know. Because California earthquake singing has nothing mentioned in the Bible. Do you understand? People are following, looking at California singing. The California sing means the rapture will come. Of course, the rapture will come, but when? Do you know? It can happen at that time, or it can happen maybe a month later, or even a year later. Because we are looking at what? We are looking at Russia coming down. We are looking at the war in the Middle East. Because that must happen, and God's name must be sanctified. So a lot of things that we are so close together and it can happen very fast. Next morning you wake up. Okay, maybe you know on the 8th, Tuesday, right? Is election. On the 9th, wake up, they're still having their election because America is behind us. Correct? And on the 10th we wake up, whoa, what happened? There's riot in the whole America, for all you know. They're even warning that there might be the day before, there might be a terrorist bombing here and there. So everybody is acting, well, fearful. Next moment, what is going to happen? You never know if whoever comes into power And you get a crazy man that Donald Trump blessed the bottom, boom, set up the missile attack. No, people say he might be crazy. Sure. And what about Duterte? Oh, he must have forward against every other country. And they cause trouble over this part too. And what about over there in India? When the whole, the president, prime minister want India to be Hindu nation. There might be riot among them, Muslim and those who eat beef. Because they cannot eat beef. Anything can happen over that so fast, brother. So that's not what the Bible says. Watch and pray and be in supplication that you will not be caught unaware. You see? Because when Jesus came, how many people recognize him? How many? How many people recognize him? He was living among them, growing up them in Nazareth. They are so used to him growing up as a boy, as a teenager, as a young man, and you know, they visit his father Joseph's carpenter shop, and they saw him making the chairs for them that they ordered, maybe a cupboard or a wardrobe. They're so used to him, but they didn't even know who he was. And when he went out preaching, they wouldn't believe in him. What good thing come up from Nazareth? Who could believe? Right there, living in their own town. Just think about it. A prophet walks among them. John the Baptist. They didn't recognize him. The Messiah walks among them. How many recognize him? Huh? The Word was walking there. We have the Word walking in the midst of us. God is revealing himself to us. And that's why I'm not expecting a revival. You know what God is going to do. God is going to do something. If we, our heart is out to him. You know. So let us be mindful of that one thing. Because Revelation 19, John said, thy kingdom come. Yes, and he will reign forever and ever. Alright, just for a little bit here before we close. I want you to go look at Revelation 4:5. Just ask you a question. Revelation 4:5. And out of the throne proceed lightning and thundering and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, you read these seven lamps of fire. And if you go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12. Alright, Revelation chapter 1 verse 12. And I turned to see the voices that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, the seven lamps of fire burning, are they the same as seven golden candlesticks? Huh? Are they the same? We know they are not the same, because if you really carefully down, later on the Bible says in verse 20, alright, the mystery of the seven star which thou saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlestick. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlestick which thou saw are the seven churches. And what is the seven lamp burning? We already read in chapter 4 verse 5 and the end of it said, which are the seven spirits of God. So the seven candlesticks and the seven lamps of fire burning. I think the word lamp sounds a bit, you know, the way that we think about lamp. It means a torch, a burning fire. Just a burning fire. You know. I mean, for example, we can say, well, the Bible uses it, licks fire upon the heads of the apostles. We can say lamps of fire upon you. Lamp means something, a burning thing. Yes. You know, but we think about lamb as something that is contained like a lamb that we know, a utensil. No. Okay? So, to understand it, read within the context and we can really understand it better. Okay? So, these are just an example. Alright, we'll close for now and next we'll continue further into other things. And I pray that we always pick up a little bit of things as we go along in understanding the Word of God. Because the more that we see and understand God's mysterious way of dealing with His people by forms of visions and prophecy and using symbolism and figure of speech and things like that, is to hide all the truth from the wise and the prudent. But only to show and reveal to those who are based on such that will learn. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Word, Lord. And we ask that, Lord, the word that we have learned from you be hide in our hearts, Lord, and then in our walk with you, Lord, we'll be faithful and not sin against you. And we ask that, Lord, you guide us, Lord. And fill our life with thy spirits and anointing and the hearing of the word, and as well even the studying of it. We look to your coming, Lord. We hasten your coming. We know the day is far spent, and this last few grain of sand, O Lord, in your prophetic hourglass is trickling down, and time will run out. And we know, as the Bible said, time shall be no more. And it should be, Lord, that the hour must come that you will have to finish up all the work that you have already ordained before the foundation of the world to do it, that you might have a people for your namesake, O Father. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are a part of the family of God. We thank you for this privilege and the blessing, Lord. We ask this with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.